All right, I want to greet y'all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be here with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We just thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your spirit and your power, Lord, that you offer to us. Father, we thank you for your goodness again. We just ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Help us have ears to hear, Father. Again, we just thank you for all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, amen. Well, it's been a blessing to be here with you all again this morning. Let's open our Bibles to, I'm going to go to Galatians here where Tyler was at. We're going to begin in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Some of these verses. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. These verses about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These things are the things we should be hoping to grow. That's what we really are, and that's who we really are, whenever we're aligned with those things. Those are the things that will last through all eternity. You know, our position, our power, any of those things mean nothing. But in heaven, you know, we've often talked about heaven that, a lot of people think that because they're religious or because they've said a prayer or because they've done something that they're just going to be going to heaven and everything will just be changed as soon as they get there. Well, the Bible tells us that as the tree falls, so shall it lie. In other words, what we are now is what we will be for eternity. And we have been given this time, this allotment of life for us to not just be successful in the world or just be successful in this life, but for us to prepare ourselves for the next life so that we can prepare ourselves for the next world. So that, you know, we just get so focused on this life and it is so temporary. It's just here for a little while and then it's gone. And, you know, we see people that devote their whole lives to a certain subject or do a certain thing or a certain topic or building something or a business or whatever. And they just give their whole lives to it. And they get old and die. And there's more to than just what we accomplish while we're on this earth. Our purpose on this earth is to prepare ourselves for eternity. To prepare ourselves to be with God and live with God. And this fruit of the Spirit are the things that belong in heaven, the things that will be there. You know, we tell people that, you know, that I've heard, you know, people just think that everything's just going to be changed when we die. And I just have to ask the question, you know, what's going to change us whenever we haven't changed here? And it's not just a perfection or just trying to, but it's the whole attitude of the Spirit of God, trying to be in tune with it. It's learning to be like Jesus. Because in reality, you know, heaven, hell, eternity, we're going to go be with who we belong with. You know, and that's the sad reality of it. You know, it's we either belong with God or we don't. And we have this opportunity because of what Christ has done for us, died for us, to set us free from Satan and those bondages that are all around us, to deliver us from those things so that we can return to God and be like Him and be as He was when He walked this earth. We have that opportunity. And that's a privilege, a blessing that we have. And whenever we read these verses here and these things that about the fruit of the Spirit, that should be our goal. That should be the highest thing in our life, that we are developing. You know, whenever we plant a tree or we plant a garden, you know, we've got gardens planted now. And when we plant a garden, we plant it for a purpose. It isn't just so we can go out there and dig in the dirt and get rid of weeds. It isn't just so we can take, you know, pleasure in watching something grow so much. What we're looking for is the fruit of what is being produced. And it takes a long time sometimes, a lot of work and a lot of effort to produce that fruit. But that's our goal. We often get, you know, the goal and the process gets all tangled up sometimes. But our goal is fruit. And that's the way it is in life. A lot of times in life, we get the process all tangled up. And what that does is chokes out the fruit. It chokes out what we're really looking for. And this fruit that God is wishing for in us, or is hoping for in us, is this fruit of the Spirit. Because that's who we actually are. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And I want to read on here just a minute, but what happens a lot of times with religion, you know, we get the process all tangled up with what we're actually trying to shoot for. And that's where this, you know, it's talking about the fruit. And then it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And sometimes whenever we become holy, or we think we become holy, that what we think sometimes is of a fruit is actually a weed that is actually trying to choke us. He's saying here that this fruit to live by, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that's to live by. And what happens is we get religious and we get free and we stop sinning or stop doing something that we think we shouldn't do. And what happens is we become proud right there. And we miss this patience and long-suffering. And we forget to live by the Spirit of those things. And this spirit of pride, and this spirit of real ugliness, things that don't belong, begin to creep in to religion and the church. And the truth is, that's what you see mostly in church, are those things, those ugly things, where we've got all proud of our accomplishments. And I'm not like them. Boy, I don't do that anymore. And we can look down, you know, it doesn't take far. We don't have to look far to see somebody who's not quite where we are. And what happens is we start getting proud. And then this ugly fruit begins to grow where good fruit was supposed to be growing. And so instead of seeing the good fruit, the world sees this ugly fruit. And they see that as God. You know, people who represent Christ can represent Him good, or they can represent Him bad. You know, it's like when you buy something, and It's you buy a certain brand name. And we buy it because that was a good one. You know, and so we buy it. And then sometimes we buy one and it's got a brand and we have a bad experience. So we avoid that. So we lump all of it in with that bad brand sometimes. And that's the way it is with us. We are representing Christ. And it behooves us to represent Him according to His Spirit and according to how He wants us to represent Him. And that's what I say. The sad thing is that most people have a bad taste in their mouth. Because, you know, and the thing about it is, you know who gets blamed for it? God does. Jesus does. You know, I don't know how many people I've heard that they're mad at God because they saw a Christian do something one time. They were mad at God because they grew up and the people in the church were bad to them or mean to them or cruel to them. And so they throw it all away and they're mad at God. You see, if the fruit of the Spirit is there and we live after the Spirit of God, that doesn't happen. They may be mad because of some other reason, but they're not. They don't become bitter at God because we've misrepresented Him. All we have is an opportunity to reflect our Master for good or evil. We have an opportunity in this life to reflect Christ. We have an opportunity to reflect God. You know, if there's ever been an opportunity in this world or a need in this world, it's just right there. You know, we look at the things going on in the nation and in the world. It just looks pretty bleak sometimes. But God is always just needed a few people just to reflect His light, just to represent Him. And you know me, I love foundation. You know, Jesus talked about the foundation, about the house that was built on the rock, and one was built on the sand, and the winds came, and the house that was built on sand collapsed, and the house that was built on the rock stood. You know, we think about that, and then we hear what Jesus said about it. It's, he that built his house on the rock is like he who hears my words and does them. But he who built his house on the sand is he who heard his word and didn't do it. You see, right? It's about hearing. These verses that he's talking about, he's hearing us and telling us, build fruit, grow fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We have those things. We'll never fail. That'll live forever. No matter how dark the world gets, no matter how bleak it gets, if we have those things, we'll sail right through. Satan would have us afraid, fearful. He would have us scared to death about the future, our life, whatever. But that's not God's plan for us. God is good and worthy to be trusted. Just think about, you know, how fear controls people. And it's just looking, in my opinion, through history, the best way the world has chosen to, or Satan has chosen to get people under his control, he's brought millions in control, under control, is not offering them good things so much as offering fear. You know, you get somebody afraid, And they'll jump at a little bit of a comfort or an opportunity. We are most vulnerable when we're afraid. And that's why Jesus puts so much effort on and talk about, be not fearful. Don't be afraid. Trust in God. We're just very vulnerable whenever we're living in that fear. And that's not a good fruit to live with. It's miserable. Brethren, verse 1, chapter 6 says, Brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Verse 26, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, I've been in churches that the whole goal as a church is just to make sure I keep an eye out on everybody. And if somebody steps out of line, I'm right there to challenge them. I'm right there to be on them. I'm right there to, boy, I'm going to watch you guys. And I want you to watch me, they'll say. But that's not the way that the church is to be built. To be built on the Spirit of God. And these verses, let us not become boastful. You know, whenever we've got our little notepad out keeping a track on everybody else, that makes us boastful. Makes us proud. That turns us from being what God wants us to be into some religious phony that's misrepresenting God. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another. You know, sometimes when somebody does a little better, boy, it just makes us mad. Envy's another powerful tool that Satan uses against us. You know, whenever we see someone's got it a little better, we envy them. The big green monster is what I always heard it was. And that happens. And it's a powerful thing. See, he's talking about things that'll destroy churches. Being boastful, challenging one another, and envying one another. Then he says, Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. I've talked about this before. Here's the opposites laid out. You know, I talked to a man a few weeks ago about churches, and he was, you know, he just, why there's so many different divisions and so many different groups. And one of the reasons I think of that, it falls right under this, boastful, challenging one another, and envying one another. And I told him, I shared with him, I've never heard of a church falling apart because of a weak person. I've never heard of a church splitting or dividing because of a weak person. Or someone that was struggling because they were the problem of it. The problem is the person who thinks he's strong and can't tolerate someone weaker than they are. Someone who thinks that they're the strong one and they don't have the patience to help one another. They don't have the patience. They'd rather scold or criticize and kick out, get rid of, because you don't measure up to what I am. That's what tears up churches. That's what causes divisions in group. Whenever a couple of proud, boastful, envious people get together and they can't tolerate someone that isn't where they are. This is Jesus talking, or this is Paul talking to the church. Telling us how we need to be like Jesus. And that should be the goal. You know, we kind of miss the fruit of the Spirit. We quote it in one verse, but we don't see what's all around it here. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. You know, we read that, brethren, if anyone's caught in the spirit of trespass, we just think of someone, okay, I caught you. And that's not what he's talking about. Seeing someone or exposing someone, it's not what he's talking about. If someone's caught in a trespass, they're caught in it. It's the trespass that's the problem. They've got trapped in it. And I tell people, you know, usually in the time when someone's weak, that's when the religious people come down the hardest on them. Instead of being a friend and standing up beside them and supporting them, considering their own selves, that's whenever they really crack the whip and really come down on them, put pressure on them. Exactly opposite of God's plan or how it ought to be. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, the strongest among you ought to be the one right there supporting, being right by their side, restoring such a one in a spirit of gentleness. You know, it's pretty easy for us to get real sharp when someone does us wrong. When someone, you know, fails us, it's pretty easy for us to get sharp on them. That's not the spirit of gentleness. And the reason, so that you too not will not be tempted. You know, what goes around will come around. And we give this, and that's where it just keeps, you know, we hear of division, we hear of division and division. That's why, because it just continues to multiply within itself. We think we're not above, we think we've got past some things, and lo and behold, the Lord lets us go right through them again. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burden and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. You know, whenever when someone fails us, we can either be a hindrance or we can help them. We can either send them on down that path of wrong or we can help them. You know, we get so caught up in us or ourselves being offended or ourselves being wronged or somebody didn't do what I thought they ought to do and begin criticizing. Or we can actually bear their burden. You know, consider what they're going through. Consider how their minds operate, maybe. You know, there's a lot of people that have anxiety and they have problems. Their minds don't, you know, we all are different. Our minds think different than each other. You know, there's some people thinking pictures and some people, I don't know what, I guess words is all we need. I don't know. There's just different ways whenever you mention something. Some people just see pictures in their mind. Some people have thoughts, different thoughts. It's just, we're all different. Some people, you know, we see things just boom, 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 the way they are. And some people, there's a lot more variety in the way they see things. The point is we all see things different and we think different. And it takes some allowance for us whenever we see things differently to disagree, but still have the same focus, the same heart, of being a part of the Spirit of God. Our same goal of producing this fruit. And that's where we have to have patience with one another. You know, a lot of times bad things come into our mind or in our heart and into our lives. And God lets them there for a reason. You know, we see people that really struggle sometimes or really have problems, and we just wish they'd get over it. We just wish they'd grow out of it. But you know, maybe the reason they're going through that is so that God can work on your patience. And maybe He needs to bring you to a place to be a little more careful. That's, you know, the perfect church has people with problems in it so that the perfect people can be improved just a little bit sometimes. Maybe they need some patience. Maybe they need some fruit. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. How do we bear someone's burdens? You know, we can't live their life for them, but we can back up and just put ourselves in their shoes for a little bit. Not in a proud way, but just be patient with one another. Be patient. Bear their burden. Put yourself in where they're at. And be willing to shoulder a little bit of the weight they may be carrying. You know, if everyone was just where we ought to be, then we'd be in heaven. We're here trying to develop the fruit that will last throughout eternity. And so that's why there's things that we go through. That's why maybe your brother or sister is going through something and it's causing you some inconvenience. You know, I guess just going back to our minds sometimes, there's people that just have real problems. They're just faced and attacked by things in their mind constantly. And it's just hard for them to even survive. And it's hard for us to see that. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to see that whenever someone's just tormented. But if we could put ourselves in that place, you know, if we've got a peaceful mind and are at rest, you know, we forget about the trouble. You know, that's one of the things that's hard is that being successful usually has a real tendency for us to go bad. It's the trouble, it's the struggles that we go through that make us strong. Usually, whenever we don't have problems, that's when we start going bad. I heard a man it's been a while, but I've heard it all my life, but we don't learn much from our successes. We just don't learn much from being successful. What that usually does is, like I said, it makes us proud, makes us a little boastful. You know, when people are successful, they're usually on a podium shaking their hands up and we're number one, you know, or whatever. You're not learning anything there. It's through the failures that you learn. Think of the song that the God on the mountain is the God in the valley. You know, we usually experience, thank God, is some wonderful experience high on a mountaintop. But God's down in the valley. And we really learn. And we really grow. And we really get close to Him in those places, if we will. That's where God's at. You know, whenever we think of Jesus, He was with the lowly. He was with the crippled, the sick, the troubled, the tormented. That's where He was at. That's where the people He was helping. You know, they were all clamoring around Him, and He said, bring the little children to Me. The least of these, He talked about several times. That's where Jesus is at. That's where we learn to be like Him. He was the Creator of all things, and He humbled Himself and became a man. Not so He could be superior over everyone. So He could show you us how to be the lowest. First shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it seems like the goal of religion is get me on top, just like it is in the Olympics. But that's all wrong. To be like Him, we need to look at Him. We need to understand His Spirit, like we were talking about. And that takes grace, patience with each other. Brethren, if anyone is caught in trespass, you are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourselves so that you too will not be tempted. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's our goal, to bear this fruit, not just so that we look good to everyone else, or we appear good to everyone else, or we've got all our ducks in a row and never have any problems. Humble ourselves. Remember the people Jesus came to, the ones that accepted Him. They were the ones going through it. So that gives us an opportunity to bear one another's burdens. If they're going through something or somebody's going through something hard, Jesus is probably pretty near. And when we come with our bony little fingers scolding, we're probably separating ourselves from what we should be drawing near to. May the Lord add His blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Made me think about synthetic food. You can tell if someone's living by synthetic fruit or correct, trying to live by the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 this evening for fellowship. Anyone else have anything? All right. Well, God bless you all. Depart in peace. The Lord be with you till we meet again.